Thank you, Gail. Okay, today we are looking at chapter 6 of 1 Samuel and has 21 verses. And the theme here is the Philistines return the ark. Today, we shall look at how the Philistines sent back the ark with rich gifts to the Lord to make an atonement for their sin. The study also looks at the reaction of the men of Beth-Shemesh in Israel when the ark came to them. Finally, the study focuses on the judgment of the Lord on the men of Beth-Shemesh for looking inside the ark. So let's start with the ark returned to Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. The ark being in the possession of the Philistines for 7 months indicates the time our flesh or the beast is given power over us to continue for 42 months. This 42 months is the complete period of time by the significance of the number 7 in our lives when we are under the dominion of our flesh. In other words, it is the complete time that our flesh, symbolized by the Philistines, sits in our hearts and mind, claiming himself to be God. The number 42 in the negative context signifies our spiritually dead state when we are under the dominion of our flesh, as shown in the following verses. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 24. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she bears out of the womb, and tear 42 children of them. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 14. And he said, take them alive. And they took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 42 men. Neither left he any of them. So based on this, we can say that it has to do with our spiritually dead state when we are under the oppression of the flesh. Revelation chapter 13, verse 5-8. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindred and tongues and nation. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And we come to 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. And the Philistines called for the priest and the diviner, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. And they said, if you send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return, him a trespass offering. Then you shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. The Philistines calling for the priest and diviners means that when we are overcome by the flesh during our time in Babylon, we tend to seek direction of how to worship the Lord from our leaders in Babylon. And it is insightful to note that the response of the priest and diviners is that being healed is through our giving to the Lord. This is the mantra of the church system of this world of Babylon. That is, we must always offer something to the Lord to be healed. And that is what has made many of these miraculous workers rich. However, we know from the word of the Lord that this is false doctrine. Rather, it is the Lord who first gave to us, and it's always given to us, given to us. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 and 9 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Philippians 4, 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So it's the Lord who gives us first. And all that he requires is that we offer our bodies as living sacrifice to him. The Lord is not our enemy. He is the enemy of sin in our lives and will not stop at and will stop at nothing to destroy the flesh within us, his elect first, and the people of this world in an age to come. Job chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. And after my skin, as my flesh has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Then said they, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden emeralds and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague on you all and on your lords. Wherefore you shall make images of your emeralds and images of your mice that mar the land, and you shall give glory unto the Lord, unto the God of Israel. Peradventure, he will lighten his hand from off you, and from off your gods, and from off your land. According to the word of the Lord, a trespass offering involves a sacrifice of a ram, which represents Christ. It is the blood of Christ which cleanses us from our sins. As in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, if a soul commits a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekels of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he has done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass, and it shall be given him. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. As we can see, the Philistines' trespass offering was not in accordance to the word of the Lord, but according to their own intuition. For example, the Lord has stated categorically that mice are unclean animals, and therefore the golden mouse image created by the Philistines to appease the Lord is still abhorrent to him. Leviticus 11:29 says, the following swarming creatures that move on the ground are unclean for you: moles, mice, and all types of lizards. Isaiah 66:17 says, people make themselves holy and prepare themselves for their garden rituals. They go into the garden and devour pork, disgusting things, and mice. They will come to an end at the same time, declares the Lord. When we are full of the flesh, we do not do things according to the rules of the Lord. In our imagination, we think that giving is a substitute for a guilt or trespass offering. Many think that as long as they are giving to the church through the money they offer or the services they render to the church, the Lord will override their sins. It is the blood of Christ which cleanses us of sin. As Paul stated, if we are to compete, then we must compete according to the rules. We must come to see who we really are, that we are beasts before the Lord comes to cleanse us from all unrighteousness through his blood shed for our sake. Psalm 73, verse 22 says, "So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee." 2 Timothy 2, 5, "If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully." 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 6. "Wherefore then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go and they departed?" A key indicator of our spiritual dead state sometime passes the stubbornness of our hearts and mind as portrayed by the Pharaoh and the Egyptians when they were oppressing the people of Israel and would not let them go. When we are under the dominion of our flesh, as symbolized by the capture of the ark by the Philistines, it takes the Lord's mighty hand to release us from our bondage. This mighty hand involves the judgment of the Lord on our flesh. Exodus chapter 3, verse 20 to 22. "And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourns in a house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians." As shown in Exodus 3:21, through the suffering that we endure, we not only learn righteousness as our flesh dies, but we are spiritually enriched in him as our eyes of understanding are enlightened, just as the Israelites left Egypt enriched with gold, silver, and raiment. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 24. "And you said, behold, the Lord our God had showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God has talked with man and he lives." Through the judgment, we are giving more understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom. When we are full of the flesh, symbolized by the Philistines in possession of the ark, we worship the Lord according to what our carnal minds say, as we see the Philistines laying the ark of the covenant on a cart instead of the shoulders of Levites, Kohathites, men. However, when the Lord comes to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness into our lives, those times of ignorance, the Lord ignores. Acts chapter 17, verse 13 and 31 says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance all by raising him from the dead." Exodus 25, 14 and 15. "Put the poles through the rings on the sides of the ark in order to carry it. The poles must stay in the rings of the ark. Never remove them." So he's just showing us the way to carry the ark, not as the Philistines use cattle to draw a cart and then put the ark on it. It is important to know in verse 7 that the new cart to carry the ark was to be drawn by two young daily cows that have never been yoked. These two young daily cattle are beasts. And since we are beasts, these two cattle represent false witnesses of Christ who parade in the church system of this world or Babylon, supposedly feeding the Lord's flock with milk. Again, Psalm 73, verse 22 says, "So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee and do things in ignorance." It just shows that our beast is the one in charge. A yoke is a wooden pin used to connect two persons, allowing them to work together as a team to pull heavy agricultural loads, such as plow or carts. The fact that these two cows or cattle have never been yoked means that these supposed men of God are not given working with one another. In other words, they work as individuals and do not work as a team. We see this in the churches of this world where their leaders work alone. Although some of these churches have elders, they only play an advisory role, which these pastors override according to their whims. These men of God do not play according to the rules that the Lord has established in his word, as seen in verse 8, where the Philistines, they take the ark and place it upon the cart drawn by the cattle. The book of Joel gives a glimpse of the characteristics that these supposed men of God are capable of. Joel chapter 2, verse 3 to 10. Fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like a garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, or like war horses they run. As with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on the tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Before them, people are in anguish. That's what happens to us in Babylon. All faces grow pale. Like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. They march each on his way and do not swerve from their path. They do not jostle one another. Each marches in his path. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. They leap upon the city. They run upon the walls. They climb up into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. Now, this all demonstrates how, you know, technology, you know, TV, you are in your house, and then it's like they climbing through windows, climbing into our houses. You just turn on the TV, and you, or even these days, most of the social media, you turn, and then you see some of these men of God parading as, what do you call it, apostles, and preaching the word of God by the letter. Verse 10 says, "The Lord, the earth quaked before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining." That's what happens to us in the final analysis. As you shall see later in this study, the ark of on the cart, driven by the two young cattle, was being taken to the people of Israel. This shows that everything is for our sake, with the end result being for our good. Even though the Philistines did not follow the right way of carrying the ark and all that, in the final analysis, the ark was delivered to the people of Israel. So the end result was that is what the following scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Everything, both good and evil, they work for our good." 1 Corinthians 3, 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are ours. The cat with the jewel of gold in it shows us that even in our deplorable states, where we are overwhelmed by our flesh, in which we are not playing according to the rules, they are all ordained of the Lord for our sake. In other words, our flesh occupying the place of God in our hearts and mind is to give the Lord the occasion that he is seeking to come with his judgment, resulting in us learning righteousness and also being endowed with the keys of the kingdom of heaven, symbolized by the jewel of gold accompanying the ark. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 9 to 12. And see, if it goes up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. And the man did so and took those merch keen and tied them to the cart, shut up their cows at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of their emeralds. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Bethshemeth and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turning not aside to the right or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them until the border of Beth Shemesh. Beth Shemesh is a border town of Israel with its Philistine neighbors. The name means house of the sun. It therefore signifies the church of the firstborn. Being a border town with the Philistines, it means it signifies our journey with Christ, where we are still grappling with sin as we come to know Christ. It must be noted here in these verses that although the means of transporting the Ark of the Covenant was not according to the law's prescribed method of carrying the Ark went in the direction of where it belongs, to Israel or the Lord's elect. This is to let us know that in our initial stages of our walk with Christ as his elect, our flesh, denoted by the Philistines, helps us. This is clearly demonstrated by Abraham, a symbol of the Lord's elect, being brought close to the land of Canaan, that is Haran, by his father, Terah, when the Lord first appeared to Abraham to leave Mesopotamia. Acts chapter 7, verse 2 to 4. Stephen answered, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God who reveals his glory appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia. This happened before Abraham lived in Haran. God told him, 'Leave your land and your relatives. Go to the land that I will show you.' Then Abraham left the country of Chaldee and lived in the city of Haran. After his father died, God made him move from there to this land where he now lives." You know, from Stephen's account, you would think that immediately the Lord appeared to Abraham. Abraham was the one who took the initiative and went. But when you go to Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, it shows you that it was Terah. Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, wife of his son Abraham. They set out together from Ar to all of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. When they came as far as Haran, they stayed there. Just shows you the limits of how far our flesh can go. It doesn't complete the task fully. Another witness to this is the following verse. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 16. "Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." All to show that, you know, in our initial stages of our spiritual walk with Christ, the Lord, even our flesh, help us zeal and all those things. Move forward. The ark returns to Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13 to 15. "And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the ark came into the field of Jeshua, the Bethshemite, and stood there where there was a great stone. And they cleaved the wood of the cart and offered a kind and burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffers that was in it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Bethshemeth offered burnt offering and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. It is significant to note that the people of Bethshemeth were reaping the wheat harvest in the valley when the ark came to them. As indicated, the people of Bethshemeth represents our initial walk with Christ when we were babies in Christ. The people of the Philistines being judged because of the ark of the covenant in their midst to let us know that our judgment starts when we are full of the flesh in Babylon. However, when we come to the house of the sun, as the meaning of the name Bethshemeth, or the church of the Philistines, we are still grappling with sin. The time of the wheat harvest signifies the time for us to know our sins and be judged as our eyes are being opened to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says, if you don't do all these things, you will be sinning against the Lord. You can't be sure that you will be punished or judged for your sin. The following verses show us that the time of the wheat harvest is the time of knowing our sins. It means the time, the period that we get to know ours. Judges chapter 15, verse 1. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber, but his father will not suffer him to go in. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 17 says, is it not wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. Matthew chapter 13, verse 30 says, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reaper, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So it's a time of the wheat harvest that you know clearly our sins. The one in the Samson case is in Judges chapter 15, verse 1. Samson's father-in-law refused her to let Samson see his wife, brought about a chain of events which made Samson aware of the wickedness of the Philistines, that is our flesh. And this happened during the time of the wheat harvest. In verse 13, the people of Shemesh rejoice when they saw the ark. It is a time of rejoicing when the Lord comes to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness to destroy our flesh. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9 and 10 says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. Moab to be trodden down in Isaiah 25:10 means that when the Lord comes to us, our flesh shall be destroyed. Joshua means Jehovah saved. And therefore, the ark coming to rest in the field of Joshua implies that when the Lord comes to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness, that is the beginning of the process of us being saved, or the beginning of our salvation. The people of Bethshemeth offering a burnt offering and sacrificing unto the Lord in verse 14 and 15 means that when the Lord comes to us, our response is to offer our bodies as living sacrifice to the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Samuel 6, 16 and to 18. And when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. And these are the golden emeralds which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord. For Ashdod one, for Gaza one, for Ashkelon one, for Gath one, for Ekron one. And the golden mines, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both of fenced cities and of country villages, even unto the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remains unto this day in the field of Jeshua, the Bethshemite. The negative application of the number five means farming of the word of the Lord, which brings us to spiritual poverty. Therefore, these five lords of the Philistines represents our domination by our flesh, which brings us to spiritual poverty through the farming of the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter 45, verse 11 says, "And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." The names of the cities of these Philistines gives us insight into what happens to us when we are dominated by our flesh. Ashdod means a ravager or a destroyer. We know that the devil is the destroyer. This implies that when we are overwhelmed by our flesh, we are under the control of the devil who powers our flesh. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes not to steal, but for to kill, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Revelation 13:4 says, "And they worship the dragon who gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Gaza means strong. Our flesh is stronger than our will, as he is empowered by the devil. This implies that even though we desire to do good, our flesh overpowers us to do the wrong thing. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 and 19 says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, nothing good lives in my corrupt nature. Although I have the desire to do what is right, I don't do it. I don't do the good I want to do. Instead, I do the evil that I don't want to do." Ashkelon means weighing place. When we are of the flesh, it is like coming to a weighing place and finding out that we do not measure up to the standard of the Lord. Romans chapter 7, verse 23 and 24. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" We come to see who we are. Gath means mind press. It stands for the Lord's judgment. The Lord will not relent in dealing with our flesh until he has destroyed it. Because of our flesh, we face intense, multidirectional pressures as the Lord's hand of judgment becomes heavy on us. However, through the grace of the Lord, we are sustained by his power to endure without being completely destroyed. All of these pressures are to bring us to learn righteousness so that we will be in him. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9 says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Ekron means eradication. The purpose of the ark becoming possessed by the Philistines is to give the Lord the occasion for him to come and judge our flesh with the purpose of eradicating or completely destroying our flesh. The Lord smote the men of Bethshemeth. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. And he smote the men of Beshemoth because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70,000 men. And the people lamented because the Lord has smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beshemoth said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up from us? And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Gerizim, saying, the Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you. As indicated earlier, the men of Beshemoth represent our little good Christ. The men of Beshemoth looking into the ark signifies our inclination to validate the presence of the Lord instead of walking by faith at this point in our walk. This is to give the Lord the occasion he is seeking to come and judge us with a view of destroying our old man of flesh. Most versions of the Bible record 70 men as those killed by the Lord's judgment. The number 70 in the negative context signifies the Lord's judgments, which leads to the destruction of our flesh. Judges chapter 9, verse 56. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. Second Kings chapter 10, verse 7 says, and it came to pass when the letter came to him that they took the king's sons and slew 70 persons and put their heads in baskets and sent him to Jezreel. The sending of Kiriath-Jearim for them to come and fetch the ark is an indication of our inability to see that the Lord's judgment brings righteousness. Therefore, we want to avoid the Lord's judgment, just like our brothers and sisters in the churches of this world who shine the Lord's judgment. When we have this mentality, we suffer in vain. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1-4. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has besmirched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? May the Lord grant us the grace not to suffer in vain. Amen.